Eternal Father in heaven, we bow in thy holy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that way that's opened of access into thy presence, that new and living way which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We thank thee that thou hast exhorted us in thy word to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we are needy today, as needy as ever. But we thank thee, Lord, that thou art greater than our greatest need. And we thank thee this morning that thou canst meet us at the point of our need. And so we pray this day, Father, that thou wouldst meet each individual, meet each family, O God, this day, as they listen to thy word. And O God, we pray that there will be a word in season for every heart. We pray that thou wilt strengthen us in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that those of us who are saved will go on with thee in these days, that we will know the strength and the power and the unction of thy Holy Spirit in our lives. And grant, O God, that we might be burning and shining lights in this dark world of sin, that we might be effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might stand true and faithful to the crown rights of King Jesus and the crown jewels of his glorious gospel. Our Father, we ask of thee that in the preaching of thy word thou wilt give us help today. Grant that it may be not in the words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and with power. And grant that it may reach the hearts of every hearer. We pray for those who are not saved. Lord, we pray that today they may hear a saving word. And grant, O God, that this day they may be called effectually to Christ, and that they may be delivered from the clutches of sin and Satan. And we pray that they may be set free by thy marvelous grace and brought into the fold and family of God. We pray for any who are walking afar off, Lord, that thou wilt bring them back. Lord, that thou wilt restore unto them the joy of thy salvation. And that we as believers in these days will be revived, that we will be quickened and strengthened to stand in an evil day. We pray that thou wilt give us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. For blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Father, remember those who have particular needs today, those who have physical illness. We pray for healing and restoration. We thank you for answers to prayer even during the past week. Those who have been on treatments or going through treatments, and there have been some successes in relation to that. We thank thee, O God, for answered prayer so far in these cases. Continue to answer, O Lord, we beseech of thee. We ask for others, O God, who are confined to home at this time, who are finding these lockdowns particularly difficult, not seeing friends, not able to come to the house of God as they formerly did. We pray for comfort and grace for all such. We pray that the church family will be strengthened and blessed through these times. We thank thee we can even meet by these means, that the word of God can still go out. And we pray that today it may be a word in season to every heart. Remember the needs of our society at this time of pandemic. We pray for the stemming of the spread of this virus, we pray. And grant, Lord, that thou wilt help our health service. Remember those in government too who have decisions to make. Give them wisdom and understanding. It's easy, Lord, to criticize at times. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt give them direction from thee. Lord, thou hast told us to pray for those in authority. And grant, Lord, that thou wilt answer prayer for them at this time. We pray for our government here locally, our government nationally, the governments of the world, dealing with this pandemic, that thou wilt help them and guide them. Remember our health service, doctors, nurses, carers, all involved in caring for people through these times. We pray that thou wilt give them help, and Lord, that thou wilt grant them thy protection. We pray, Father, that thou wilt remember this vaccine or these vaccines that have been discovered. Lord, we pray that they may be successful, if it's your holy will, and grant that it may be rolled out even to help people in our societies across the world. We ask, O God, at this time, you remember those who have suffered loss. We pray for comfort for all such at this time.
Those suffering from this virus, we pray for healing, if it is your will. Those who have other illnesses, physical and mental, we pray that thou wilt draw near to them at this time. Bless the work of God throughout our churches. Bless, Lord, those who preach thy word right across the world faithfully. Thou wilt use them this day for thy glory. Bless our missionaries at home and abroad. Meet their needs, we pray of thee, and help them at this time. So hear us, Lord, we call upon thee. Bless our college, our students who will be in the midst of exams in these next weeks. We pray that thou wilt help them through these examinations. And grant, Lord, that thou wilt bless them and their families too at this time. We commend ourselves to thee in this service. Pray for grace and strength and help. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're reading together from the Word of God in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. And reading from the verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, and to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his precious, inerrant, and infallible word. Well, boys and girls, this morning, we turn your thoughts to one word this morning. It is the word fear. It's a very small word of four letters, and perhaps you're familiar with it, fear. But what does it mean, boys and girls? Well, maybe you already know what it means to be afraid. And maybe you're afraid of the dark. You don't like going to sleep in the dark, and so your mommy or daddy has to leave the light on while you get to sleep. You're afraid of the dark, and that's understandable. Maybe you don't like going out on these dark nights, and a fear of the dark is a very real fear. But boys and girls, there's a fear in society in general today. And boys and girls and men and women are afraid of this virus that is going around. There's a real fear in the hearts and minds of many boys and girls and young people and men and women in society today. Fear is a dreadful thing. And boys and girls, you know, the Bible talks about fear. And the Lord says, fear not, because he is with us. He tells us not to fear, because if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is ever with us. He is ever present with us. Even in those dark nights that you don't like, when you have to go to sleep in the dark, even when you go out in the darkness, the Lord is with you. The Lord is present with us if we love him and trust him as our Savior and Lord. Fear is a terrible thing. But boys and girls, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then that fear of dying without him is a real fear that you have. Of dying without Christ. What a terrible thing it is to be lost in the darkness. If you go out at night and you haven't got a proper light, then it's likely that you would get lost in the darkness. But boys and girls, there's a divine light. Jesus Christ is the light. He is the light that you need in your life. And if you come to Him and ask Him into your heart and life, then He will take away this fear. And He will give you His peace in your heart even today. I trust, boys and girls, that in these times of great fear, that you will have the peace of God and the presence of God in your life. And knowing Jesus as your Savior, the one who's come into your heart and the one who has taken all your sins away. May it be so in each life, boys and girls, your life even today. We're going to hear the chorus played through, and you can join in at home. It's played through a couple of times. You can join in the words and in the actions. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide.
We do welcome you to our service this morning again, and we trust that the Lord will bless our coming together in His name today. Do remember the season of prayer in our homes this afternoon. We encourage you to meet with the Lord in prayer and to seek the Lord's face in these dark and difficult days in which we find ourselves. And then remember the Gospel Evening Service online this evening. And it is our family and friends night at 7 o'clock. We trust you'll be able to go online and join in that service tonight. We'll, God willing, hear ministry and song from Dr. Fred Greenfield, and also special testimony from our brother John Weir. Both of these men come from the Donegal Road area of Belfast, so we're going to have singing and ministry from these men this evening. Brother John, of course, a wonderful story of God's grace in his life, and I trust you'll encourage friends and family to join in with you in viewing and listening to this service this evening at 7 o'clock. Do pray for it, that God's blessing will be upon His Word as it goes forth. And then on Wednesday evening is the Bible study and prayer meeting, and we will continue online in our survey of the New Testament books. And this week it's the Epistle to the Ephesians, and we trust you will join us for that time around God's Word, and then we encourage you to have a time of prayer after the Bible study concludes. Next Lord's Day, the service is again online at 11:30 and 7. Do please remember this and do join with us at these online services. Next Lord's Day is my 16th anniversary as minister here in Ballygowan,
And we trust the Lord will bless us as we bring God's word to you. Normally at this time we would be having our offerings, so you can set aside your offerings until we next meet in the house of the Lord. Do pray for all who are sick or have lost loved ones at this time. Do pray for the stemming of the spread of this virus, and for those in hospital and those who are ill at home with this virus, and many who have other illnesses and who have suffered sorrow at this time as well. We're joining the singing of the hymn number 640. We trust you'll join in at home. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. My subject this morning is In the Hands of the Potter. In the Hands of the Potter. You'll find the words that I want to leave with you in Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 6. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. In the hands of the potter. A great preacher of a former generation said on one occasion that people needed most comfort. Comfort. And I am quite sure that that is what you will agree with today, that you need comfort in the course of life, and particularly in these times in which we find ourselves, there is great need for comfort and for encouragement. And our souls cry out for such comfort at this time. So often we have been disappointed in life's experience, and even we have become disheartened. And perhaps even at this present time, in the circumstances we find ourselves in worldwide, even distressed and greatly disquieted by what's going on. And perhaps you're deeply downcast today, as never before. May I bring you then to one of the rarest and yet truest words of comfort from the pages of the Word of God, with the prayer that you might have great cheer brought to your heart today, that this Word of Scripture may be a word of comfort to your heart even now. We find this word here in Jeremiah chapter 18, the passage we have read from this morning, where we read of a vessel that is marked in the hand of the potter, and then it is made again as another vessel. You may have thought of this passage of Scripture as solely for the unconverted person. And of course it does have that clear application. From it we can present the gospel of God's grace to the unbelieving sinner, to the unregenerate man, woman, young person, boy or girl. The life that has been marred by sin can be made again a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you today, if your life is marred by sin, you've never been saved from your sin, thank God you can, by the grace of God, be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. But the lives of unbelievers are not the only lives that are marred by sin. We see often the lives of believers too are marred by sin. And so this incident of Holy Scripture has an application not only to the unbelieving sinner, but to the sinning believer. You'll see the exact words here in this Scripture in verses 3 to 6. Jeremiah chapter 18. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Many years ago, I had the opportunity with others of visiting Beleek Pottery in County Fermanagh. And more recently, we had a church visit on our church outing to a pottery near Guildford in County Down. And I saw along with others a potter moulding the clay with his hands. I shall never forget seeing the shapeless mass of clay grow into a thing of beauty under the hands of the potter. And as I reflect upon what I saw on those occasions, it helps me in some measure to see the spiritual meaning behind these words of Scripture here in Jeremiah chapter 18. And I pray that the Lord, by His Spirit, will give to us all understanding of this precious portion of Holy Scripture. In the hands of the potter. There are three things that I particularly want to draw your attention to in these words of Scripture today. First of all, I want you to see the pressure of the hands of God. The pressure of the hands of God. Verse 6 says, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. And when I was watching the potter at work, it was his hands that held my attention. It was wonderful to see that taking on form and symmetry under the pressure of the potter's hand, the pressure of the hands of God. And what a wonderful thought that is, that the hands of God are seeking day by day to mold these shapeless lives of ours into something of beauty and something that will bring honor and bring glory to the Lord's name. I wonder just now if you can recall that day when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and when you were converted to the Savior. And your life was committed into the hands of God at that moment of your conversion. The words of the chorus put it like this: into the hands that were wounded to save me, into the hands that were mighty to keep, into the hands that can guide me and guard me. Savior, my life I yield. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that very place where that took place? And since that moment, the wheel of time has been turning swiftly in your life and mine, and has known the pressure of the hands of God. We might well ask, how is it that your lives know, and my life knows, the pressure of the hands of God? Well, the Word of God speaks of it in at least two ways in which this happens. And I think that our testimony confirms the teaching of the Word of God. First of all, I would suggest that there is a work here internally through conviction. A work internally through conviction. In the book of Psalms, the Psalm 32, in the verse 4, we read, day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. And the context would seem to imply that the experience was one of an inward conviction of the soul. That conviction which is, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Have you known such an experience? It may have started in some meeting or in the quietness of your own room, in a service at the church, but day and night after that, you were not able to get away from that conviction that came into your soul. It may have been about something wrong in your life, or about something you felt that God wanted you to do, or God wanted you to be. For you too, it has been that very day and night that the hand of God has been heavy upon you. And I am sure that every Christian has known something of that pressure. Pressure in the hand of God by an inward conviction. But then secondly, the pressure of the hands of God is not only inwardly through conviction, but outwardly also through circumstances. In Psalm 31, in verse 15, the words are these: my times are in thy hands. And has it not been so? How wonderfully circumstances have molded our lives. Circumstances over which we had no control. You think of the Christian home that you were brought up in. And what a blessing that has been to many across this world who have been brought up in a Christian home, and only eternity will reveal the benefits and the blessings that have come to our lives through that. The influence of godly parents, their prayers, their example. And what an impression that has made upon our lives. I think again of the influence of a spiritual ministry. Worshipping in a church where the Word of God has been preached. Have you had that privilege? Have you benefited from the opportunity of hearing the Word of God proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit? And of course, the Lord has brought about that circumstance too in your life. Maybe there have been the trials of hardships and sickness and sorrows in life which we all experience through the course of our lives. But how many a life has been wonderfully changed through such circumstances? Was it not an invalid herself, Frances Ridley Havergal, who wrote those words, "When the pressure is sorest, the hands must be nearest." When the pressure is sorest, the hands must be nearest. The pressure of the hands of God. And yes, dear friends, all of our lives, we have known this. Inwardly, through conviction. And outwardly, through circumstances. There's not only the pressure of the hands of God, but secondly, today there is the purpose in the mind of God. Look at verse 3 of this passage. Jeremiah chapter 18. You'll notice the emphasis through the word "behold" that is used a few times here in these verses. "Behold," verse 3 says, "He wrought a work on the wheels." And as I watched the hands of the potter at work, I gradually found my attention being transferred from the hands of the potter to the clay itself. And as I watched him at work, I suddenly realized that in the clay, there was being revealed the pattern which was in the mind of the potter. You see, the potter, as he took that clay, he had a pattern in mind, a pattern that he was going to shape that clay into. And gradually it became clear, until at last, its finished perfection, it stood complete. I wonder how far your lives and mine are revealing to the watching world the purpose and the pattern which is in the mind of God for us. As I watched the clay, I could see the design taking shape. As the potter worked upon the clay, the design of the vessel was taking shape. Can the watching world see the purpose which is in the mind of God taking shape before their eyes in our daily walk and conversation? The purpose in the mind of God. And I wonder what that purpose is. Again, the potter may be able to help us here. For I think it would be true to say that one or two motives govern his mind. Either he creates something for its usefulness or for its beauty. For its usefulness or for its beauty. Now when we think of the divine purpose, the purpose of God, does that not also follow these two main lines? Usefulness and that beauty which the Scripture calls holiness. I wonder how far this twofold purpose of the divine potter is being revealed in your life and mine. First of all, we think of loveliness or beauty. Again, the Bible speaks of the beauty of holiness. And this is most certainly part of the purpose in the mind of God for us. We read in Psalm 149 and verse 4 that He will beautify the meek with salvation. He will beautify the meek with salvation. And that part of the purpose is, according to Hebrews 12 and 10, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And again in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And surely it is part of that purpose that your life and mine might show forth something of the loveliness, something of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how far the clay of our humanity is revealing the wonder of the divine pattern. That holiness has been manifested in our lives as we seek to walk before an ungodly world. Sadly, so many of our Christian lives are utterly unlovely. The words of Gypsy Smith come to mind, "Can others see Jesus in me? To dwell above with the saints we love, that we well, that will be bliss and glory. But to dwell below with the saints we know is quite a different story. How is it with you today in relation to your walk? Are you walking in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you following the Savior day by day? That the beauty of Jesus is seen in you and me. But not only is there loveliness here, the thought of loveliness, but the thought of usefulness. You see, it is certainly part of the intention of God for the soul of the believer to be useful in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the words of John chapter 15 and verse 16. The Lord Jesus said this, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye might go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Some of you may remember the story of Bishop Taylor Smith, when he was dining with a friend on one occasion, and they reached the stage when the fruit was being served. The bishop had taken up the fruit knife, you know, one of those mother-of-pearl handles, pretty to look at, but rather blunt. And he was faced with some difficulty when he attempted to cut the fruit that he had chosen. He turned to his friend, as only Bishop Taylor Smith would, and with a twinkle in his eye, he said, "This knife is like many Christians, stainless but rather useless. Stainless but rather useless." I wonder, does that describe you and I today? Oh yes, we would seek to live the Christian life, but there is no usefulness manifest. We're not seeking to be useful or usable in the hand of God. It is only too true that the pattern in the mind of God, as far as usefulness is concerned, in so many of our lives, seems to be frustrated by our own willfulness. Yet it is so clearly fulfilled in so many other lives. I'm quite certain that many of us have come across in our Christian lives people who seem to shed the fragrance of Christ around about them wherever they are. The beauty of Jesus is clearly seen in them. Whenever you meet them, you're strengthened and blessed. Remember on one occasion conducting a mission in one of our churches. And I noted as I came to the prayer meeting before those services every night and came in early to be ready for the start of the prayer meeting, there was a lady and she was always there. Every night of that 2-week mission, she was there before I arrived. She was sitting there ready for the start of the prayer meeting. And I asked the minister of the congregation about that lady. Oh, he said, she's a very retiring lady. Hasn't much to say, but she's always in the prayer meeting. Always at the services. What an example. Somebody who is being useful in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. An ordinary person to look at. A retiring person. And yet, having an influence for God, even in the place of prayer. Oh, that it might be so with us, that we might be useful for God, even in the place of prayer, and in the place of service, and whatever God wants us to do, that we might be used for His glory and His honor. The pressure of the hands of God, the purpose in the mind of God. But I want you to see, finally, the patience of the love of God. You see, this vessel was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again, another vessel, verse 4 tells us. It was marred. Would that word not need to be written across every Christian life? Across your life and mine. How wonderful then is this gem of spiritual truth for such as ourselves. that for the marred vessel, there is the comfort of the patience of the love of God. That God graciously comes to deal with us, though we be marred vessels. He comes to help us. He comes to make us again. And yes, there may be a tragedy to be faced in the lives of men. Something has gone wrong. And how often and how easily things go wrong. Was there some fault in the clay? May have been too soft or too dry in one place. And so for the time being, the purpose of the potter has been thwarted until he's dealt with the fault. And they seen those potters on those occasions when I visited those potteries, sometimes stopping and taking time to remove a piece of clay and to put another piece in. In other words, he was seeking to remedy the problem. The addition of some more sand or moisture, as the case may have been required. But I note this, that the steadfastness of his purpose never falters. It's marred, so he made it again. I want you to notice those words. It was marred, so he made it again. There is no word of recrimination. No impatient rejection of the clay. Which speaks to me of a constancy to be found in the love of God. What a picture it is of God's dealings with us, men and women. Have not His purposes for us and through us for others been thwarted again and again by something faulty, something sinful in our lives? There's been something sinful that God has to deal with, that God has had to remove before being able to continue His gracious work in us. It has been a time when the beauty of holiness that was beginning to be revealed has been sadly marred. A time when our usefulness to God has been destroyed. But blessed be God, though that has happened, the Lord tenderly and lovingly comes to the marred vessel and seeks to make us again, to take us in His loving hands, and tenderly and with compassion and graciously mold us again. It may well be a costly and painful experience while God deals with us. See the potter's hands breaking down the half-formed vessel so that he might remedy the defect. And we too may know something of that. Breaking down before God. Before He can come again. And make us. And reshape us. Into His image. And into that which is pleasing. And can be used. For His honor and for His glory. Is there some marred vessel listening today? You have known, thank God, the pressure of the hands of God in the past. And more than that, your life has also shown signs of the purpose of the mind of God. But today finds you a marred vessel, though still in the hands of the potter. And that's so important. You're still in the hands of the potter. May I give you one word in closing? And the word is just this. I read in the Word of God of something else that was marred. We've been thinking of the marred vessel. But do you remember the words of Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14? As many were astonied at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. The marred visage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see there perfect forgiveness, unchanging love, an unfaltering purpose. And lay afresh today, hold upon and realize the wonder of the presence of that eternal love of God. Will you again rest upon that forgiveness and that love? The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though you are a marred vessel, yet in simple trust and yield yourself into His hands that He might make you another vessel. A vessel unto honor. A vessel that is sanctified. A vessel that is prepared for every good work. May God make you that vessel today. A vessel that He can use. That the Lord can use. For His honor. And for His glory. That His name may be glorified through us. Maybe, friend, there is the picture of the sinner, as far as you're concerned here, in this portion of God's Word, marred by sin. You've never come to Christ. You've never let the potter work upon you, but thank God, He can take you in His hands today. He can work upon you. And He can make you a vessel for His glory too. I pray that today you might come. You might trust the Savior. You might be born again of the Spirit of God. May God bless His Word to our hearts today. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we earnestly beseech of Thee that Thou wouldst bless Thy Word to our hearts. That Thou wilt speak, O God, with clarity to every soul this day. That Thou wilt do a work for Thy praise and for Thy glory, that we might be vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We pray in Jesus' name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We'll turn in our hymn books to the hymn in closing, 497, Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin by Thine atoning blood. O make me clean, purge me from every stain, let me Thine image gain, in love and mercy reign o'er all within. 497, let's join together in the singing of this hymn. Let's stand as we sing. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the service here at Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church today. We trust the Lord will bless you and your family at this time. May the Word of God be written upon all our hearts. Let us pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.